Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 2? We talked about this at length this morning in adult ed. It's the famous story of the wise men, the magi, but the theme, as we mentioned earlier, is actually joy. So Matthew 2, 10 and 11, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Actually, the Greek is they rejoiced a great joy. It's like a double. They were so excited. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented them with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm going to allude to this, but the story, sometimes it eludes us, but the escape to Egypt after Herod killed all the children, how are refugees going to live in a foreign land? God provided the gifts they needed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for today. Thank you for this third Sunday of Advent. And Lord, we want to rejoice in you as the wise men did. And at the same time, in our joy, we also lift up those who are ill in our midst. Pray that you'd be with Lee Foss as he's with his brother Sam. It's difficult to see a older brother ailing, and we just lift him up to you. We lift Sam and Lee up to you today. We lift up little Raylan, 4 months old with RSV, Lord. Just pray your healing hand of mercy upon this young boy, as well as others in our midst, Joan with COVID and Richard and others who are struggling with health issues. We lift them up to you, and we pray that in spite of all of this, you would bring healing and that you would bring great joy, supernatural joy into our lives at this time. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying amen, amen. So again, this Sunday is the third week of Advent. Remember, Advent is the Latin word. It means coming. This is an opportunity for us to prepare our hearts and lives anew to receive Jesus. That's why we take the time to do beautiful decorations and all that kind of stuff, the Advent wreath, focusing on those four important Christian themes of hope and peace, joy. Next week will be love. And again, this morning we're focusing on joy and gladness, which I think is important given the fact that there's so much anxiety and pain during this season for so many people, whether it be health-wise, whether it be relationship-wise, or others. So again, went to the Bible this week to see what it had to say about this elusive thing called joy, and I discovered that the Bible actually talks a lot about joy throughout its pages. Some 250 times it talks about joy, and the related word gladness, another 175 times, so it's there. And then I got behind the original words, not just to be a nerd, I am a word nerd, but in the Old Testament Hebrew, sasan, I found this really interesting. Joy is associated with our obedience to God's word. Isn't that, it sort of makes sense, right? You obey God, good stuff more or less happens, right? And but there was this also idea in the Hebrew about when we obey God, when we obey his word, God enthusiastically blesses us. It's this two-way thing, which is really cool. And then the Greek word chara, which means a state of calm delight. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. Biblical joy means this, a state of calm delight when God enthusiastically blesses those who are obedient to him and his word. Very practical stuff, I thought. Even joyful, right? So I think these ideas, they seem elusive, but they're actually more practical than maybe we think at times. Now, again, kind of thinking over the last couple years, which have been a hard time in our country as well as the world, we know that people look for joy in all kinds of things, right? I mean, all kinds of things outside of God. Kind of like the time when a woman went up to a little old man on his porch. He was rocking in his chair, and he looked happy, and she said, "Sir, I noticed that you appear very joyful. Would you please tell me the secret to a long, happy, joyful life?" And she was surprised because he said this. He said, "Well, for me, it's this. I smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. I drink a case of whiskey a week. I eat all the bacon that I want." That'd be all right. And I never, ever exercise. She said, "That's amazing. Sir, how old are you, if I may ask?" He said, "Oh, I'm 25. You're not going to find your joy in all that stuff, are you? Right? Where do we find joy in a world that appears so sad and broken? In a world that actually seems to delight in stealing your joy in life? Here's the great news. Not only is joy possible in your life this Advent season, it's your birthright as a child of God. Do you believe that? Through faith in Jesus Christ, who is our joy. Now, some of you may remember that last fall, I did a more of an extended series on the pillars of joy. Anybody remember that? It was really helpful for me, hopefully for you too. But actually, when you practice the pillars, if you can say that, I promise you, you will, without question, have more joy in your life. And guess what? If you're joyful, it touches other people too, right? Because it's like, you know, the people during Christmas time, ugh, you know? It's like, you don't want to be that person as a Christian. Well, as we looked at this study, I touched on six pillars that are worth thinking about. And it goes like this: humility, remember? Humor, forgiveness. Ooh, that's a big one during the holidays, isn't it? Gratitude, compassion, and generosity. If you lean in on these things in your life, I promise you, you will have more joy. That's really, really good stuff. So let me just run through these a little bit and see if any of them sort of hit you where you are at in your Christian walk. First pillar of joy, right? A humble perspective. You got to have a humble perspective as a Christian, right? Remember humility, humus, ground or earth in Latin? So a person who is a grounded person has a God-centered perspective in life. We need that right now, right? Isn't it ironic we're focusing on birth of Jesus and yet our perspective, where is that exactly? Ungrounded people have a self-centered perspective. It's all over right now, right? Just go hang out in the malls. Actually, don't hang out in the malls. You won't find much peace there, I don't think. I know I don't. Maybe you do. I don't. I just want to strangle people and I lose my joy. You know, if you think about humility, is there any greater humility than the second person of the triune Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born into human flesh? Christmas, later to be crucified for our sins, to restore that right relationship with a holy God. My mind went back to Paul in Philippians 2 about the humility of Jesus. Actually, that was an early Christian hymn worth thinking about. They sang about this in Paul's day. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And what was that mindset? Who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. He could have. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Actually, the Greek is slave. We don't like that word, do we, for our own historical reasons? But Jesus became a slave for our well-being, being made human in human likeness. Without a humble perspective in your life, you will not experience the depths of joy, the joy of the Lord, right? And pride is gross in the end of the day, kind of like the time when a German shepherd, a Labrador retriever, and a black cat all died. There they are. They found themselves, yeah, I mean, back to the video, except for the cat. They found themselves in the presence of the Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, and God decided to, this is bad theology, decided to give them all a little quiz to see what they believed in. God started with the German shepherd. They are smart. My boy has one. And the German shepherd said, I believe in discipline, training, and loyalty to my owner, just as I did to you, Lord. And Lord said to the shepherd, very good, come on in. And then he said, now you, Labrador Retriever, tell me what you believe in. And the lab said, I believe in loving care of my owner and peace on earth. Very different breeds, right? Just like the angel sang, and I've been loving of you in my life as well, Lord. And God said, yep, come on in. And then God looked suspiciously at the black cat. I have one of these. He's actually my buddy. He looked at the black cat and he said, now, cat, you must be completely honest with me. What do you believe in? And you know cats. a little infernal beast, just stood there aloof, distant, and he actually dared to look God up and down, like. And he tilted his little head and he said to God, "I believe that you're in my seat." Sound familiar? And as I've said before, that's why cats can't go to heaven, people. It's like, you've said it. Or having fun. You know, my kids, we've had some fun Christmases. They're gone now. But my kids once said that they wanted a cat for Christmas. And I looked at them and I said, you know, normally I bake a ham. But if you want a cat, and they did not find that very funny on Christmas. Which leads me to the second pillar, which is humor. If you don't like humor, you're going to hate this church. You know, humility comes from humus, ground, earth. Actually, humor is a related word because the ground or the earth needs moisture. Remember, humor means moisture in the Latin? And it's fun to do a little research here. You know what happens every year? Here's a little public service announcement. Remember to put water in your tree base? Remember that? Because I found out this year, when trees become dried out, they're an incredible fire hazard. Has anyone taken their tree after Christmas outside and set it on fire? Yes. Of course, the firemen. It's awesome. I mean, they go up. It's unbelievable how they just... I found this out. Josh and Tyrone would know these things. National Fire Protection Association... At least 200 homes in the U.S. get torched every Christmas by dried out Christmas trees that are too close to holiday candles and faulty wiring. The fire guys are like, uh-huh, I know. They've probably been on those calls. Here's my point. To be humorless literally means in the language to be dried out, lifeless, like that Christmas tree. You know, this is why I've said before, I honestly don't trust humorless people. I didn't say you got to be a comedian or whatever. I just said, you know, you have to be able to laugh once in a while, right? At a joke. You know, you've met some of these Christians. I call them the frozen chosen. They hate me. They take themselves too seriously, I think, right? I think humor should be cultivated in your life in one way or another, to one degree or whatever. I think humor can be really helpful during the holiday season, don't you think? Have a joke, have a little laugh, right? Mostly at your own expense. I mean, try to leave others out of it somewhat, I suppose. That creates other problems, right? Jesus knew all about this. It's astounding to me that some people think that Jesus never cracked a smile. You see some of the religious pictures, right? And he's just like, It's like, I don't think so. I think Jesus was a really funny dude. Luke 6:21, I love this. This is Luke's Sermon on the Plain. Blessed are those who weep now. A lot of that stuff happens during the holidays, right? For they shall laugh, Jesus said. Isn't that good? Third pillar of joy, and this is really important for the holiday season, forgiveness. Forgiveness. The Bible talks about forgiveness a lot. It's really Christianity 101, right? I've never stopped being struck by the one conditional clause in the Lord's Prayer. You know this clause, right? Abba, Father, Papa, Daddy, forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins, what? As we forgive those who have trespassed, who are indebted, who have sinned against us. Ooh, that's so practical. If this isn't clear enough, Matthew 6, Jesus says, Sermon on the Mount, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, guess what? Your heavenly Father will forgive you. Forgiveness needs to be a part of our DNA as Christians. I don't know why this is somehow secondary in Christian teaching. This is so vital. Jesus said, if you do not forgive others their sins, guess what? Your heavenly Father won't forgive yours. Could it be any more serious? Now here, I want to make this very clear. I've said this before, but it's worth saying again during the holidays. When you have been deeply hurt, when you have been deeply wounded by another person, this is what forgiveness never says. And there's a lot of wonky teaching out there, and we need to get clear. Forgiveness never says it wasn't a big deal. It was a big deal that happened to you. Forgiveness never says, you know, it didn't really hurt. This is a guy thing.
It didn't hurt, you know.
Well, walk it off. You got cancer, dude. You're not walking it off. Get to the hospital. Number three, it doesn't really matter. It did matter, and it does matter, right? Or somehow, worse yet, oh, blame the victim, right? You know, shoot the victim. Somehow I deserved it. No, you didn't. No, you did not. That's not what forgiveness says. You know, the reality is our deepest sorrows as human beings are more often than not on the relational level, right? We know this instinctively. We've experienced it. And you know, those things are almost always magnified during the holiday season, aren't they? Oh, those longings. Oh, I wish I could be. I wish I could have done it over. You know what? Good news is you can. You can. Isn't the Christmas season really a perfect time for forgiveness? I know I may be stepping on some toes or some painful stuff. I get it. I really do. Making amends, reconciling with a particular family member. You know who I'm talking about. Did you talk to me about my Uncle Joe? I hate him. You know, it's like, I don't know your Uncle Joe. Okay. I've talked with people lately. You know, making amends and forgiveness is so important. I mean, it's a primary step in recovery programs, actually, right? You can wear people down in love. Most people will eventually accept the amends because they don't want to be in battle. So there are some people, right? But most of them not. Just pick up that phone and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about you this holiday season. Just wanted to call and see how you're doing. Good? All right. Love you. Bye. And then you do it again. And you do it again. Little bit, as they accept. And you hold back. They're like, you're calling me too much. Okay, hold back. And then do it again next month. Or something like that. Does that make sense? It's very practical. Most people do not want to be in relational battle. It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? And it matters. For some of you, what if you, in your heart or with your words, if you said, I forgive you. I forgive. I pardon you. In the name of Jesus. Now, don't say this part. You can think it, but don't say, you know, I forgive you, but I don't trust you as far as I could throw you. You know you've got those people probably in your life, right? I mean, I've had plenty of them. But you don't say that part. You say, I forgive you in Jesus' name. I love you. Can we be done with this? Are we good? Just some thoughts. Forgiveness is such an important, and you will have greater joy in your life, I promise you. Isn't that good? It's really practical. But remember, it's not saying it didn't matter, it didn't hurt, that's not what forgiveness is about. Forgiveness, reconciliation, do your part, you can't do it, and trust, that's built up later, right? Don't forgive someone and then say, I trust you, don't. That's dumb. That's not Christian teaching. Anyway, you're full of laughs and giggles. The fourth pillar of joy is gratitude. Gratitude, gratus, meaning thankful. You know, gratitude, it also in Latin means to be pleasing or agreeable, right? Grateful people are pleasing and agreeable people. They're easy to be around, right? People who are like, hey, thank you for this. Please, thank you. Instill that into the children, especially this time of year, right? So they're not monsters, right? Grateful people are easy to be around because they reciprocate. They also understand God's kindness and graciousness in their lives, right? Gratitude, gratia, grace. It's all the same thing, the same idea, right? We express our eternal gratitude to God for his grace and mercy in our lives, right? Grateful joy, I allude to it. Wise men, Matthew 2, 10 and 11. This struck me. When they saw the star, they were what? Overjoyed, double joy, right? They came to the house, they saw the child, the mother, they bowed down and worshiped him. Again, the wise men, literally in the Greek, rejoiced a great joy. That was their attitude, joyful gratitude. And we need gratitude in this tough season. Kind of like the time when a child psychologist had twin boys. One was a grateful optimist, the other was an ungrateful pessimist. Just to see what would happen, because psychologists are like this, The psychologist loaded the ungrateful pessimist room's his bedroom with toys and games, while the grateful optimist room, he dumped a big pile of horse manure. Merry Christmas. That night, the father found the ungrateful pessimist surrounded by his gifts, crying. You've seen this with children? He said, "What's wrong?" the father asked.
"Well, I have a ton of game manuals to read. I need batteries, and you know what? All my toys will eventually be broken. Boo-hoo," said the ungrateful pessimist.
Now, passing the grateful optimist room, the father found him dancing with joy around the pile of manure. "Why are you so happy?" the father asked. The grateful optimist shouted, "There's got to be a pony in here. There's got to be a pony somewhere in this room. Your attitude matters. Remember? Do you have an attitude of gratitude this season? Or is your attitude a matter of ingratitude?" Remember that one? I think that was Thanksgiving sermon, I believe. Well, how about the fifth pillar of joy? Compassion. We love to talk about this one at Mosaic Church. Remember compassion, compasio? It means to suffer with, to sit with another who is struggling. This is really, really important. Compassion. According to the Bible, compassion should be a natural byproduct of your relationship with Jesus Christ, right? It really should be, right? Remember, compassion is not pity. Pity is the world's like, "Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Just, okay, yeah, stay away from me. I don't want to catch what you got," as if you could catch that, right? Compassion is not even empathy. Empathy means I know what you're going through. Ouch. Yeah, I've been there. No, compassion means to sit with someone who's struggling, who's hurting, to listen to them, to love them, to pray for them, to help them in any way you can. Compassion requires action. It wants to work for the best of another person. Does this make sense? This is really crucial in the Christian life, right? I love what Apostle Paul had to say about this. This is a great couple of verses to memorize. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. He says, "Praise to be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion and the God of all comfort, who what comforts us in our troubles." Why? So that you can comfort someone else, right? From the comfort you've received from God. Please, this is why I'm such a word guy. Comfort, biblical Christian comfort is not this. Now, now. There, there. That's not it. You know what comfort means in Latin? It means with strength, with fortitude. You are offering strength and encouragement to someone who desperately needs it at that moment. That is a beautiful Christian thing, right? That's what comfort is. Do that. But what they need is your strength. Can you lend someone your strength for a moment? Or my favorite, I've shared him before too, my favorite children's poet, Shel Silverstein, right? The little boy and the old man, here we go, compassion. Said the little boy, "Sometimes I drop my spoon." Said the little old man, "I do that too." The little boy whispered, "I wet my pants." "I do that too," said the little old man. Said the little boy, "I often cry." The old man agreed and said, "So do I." "But the worst of all," said the boy, "it seems grown-ups don't pay attention to me." And he felt the warmth of a wrinkled old hand. He said, "I know what you mean," said the little old man. Beautiful. Compassion. Gratitude. The God of all comfort. Sixth, final pillar of joy to be thinking about this holiday season is generosity. Generosity. Generous giving is one of the most commonly talked about ideas in the entire Bible. But you know, generosity for a Christian is not an idea. It's a lifestyle, right? We talk about that here all the time. When we started this church, I've said it before, some of you may not understand this, we never in our budget keep more than 6 months operating expense. We're fiscal conservatives in that way, but every dollar over 6 months operating goes out in benevolence. And people are paying attention, like the Merck Bowers Market. They're like, "We love your mission. Hey, what if we give you 400 hams and all the fixins? Can you get those into the community? We'll pay for it all." And we're like, challenge accepted. Keep bringing it more. I actually said, "How about?" I said to the owners, "I said, How about next year we do 600 or 800? And they were like, generosity. Yeah, it's easy to give away somebody else's stuff, right? There's that. But isn't it good? Because generosity begets generosity, right? We love that verse. Remember Acts 20:35? Jesus said it's more what? Blessed to give than receive. Do you know that truth? You understand that one. Ooh, you're moving along in your Christian faith quite nicely, I think. Again, the wise men, Matthew 2:1-12. It was fun studying that together in adult ed today. Did you notice they brought incredibly expensive gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, myrrh, traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles to come to see the baby Jesus, the newborn king of Israel. Have you ever stopped to consider, we alluded to this, that after they left, right, the story after the Magi is the flight to Egypt where the false King Herod kills all the babies because he's jealous, right? And they flee off to Egypt, ironic, right? Joseph in Egypt, remember that story, right? He has a dream like Joseph. He can't even speak the language. How is he going to provide for his family in exile for however long it takes for this dude to die? Well, guess what? God provided with the gifts. Is my thinking, I can't prove it, but it's a good guess, I think. God is generous. He provides for us, right? The bottom line is, this Advent Christmas season, do you want joy? Do you want it in your life? Do you need it? I do. I think we all do. You know, all of us have different special holiday traditions. Some of you have special food and treats and stuff that you enjoy. Anybody, some of these are old school. Any of you enjoy pigs in a blanket during the holidays? Now, you may call it pigs in the blankets, which the rest of us would call relatives sleeping in the spare room. Just keeping it real. Anyway, oh, that's so inappropriate. Do you want joy this Advent season? It's very simple. We've said this before. You know, the more you focus on Jesus Christ this Advent season, you will have more joy. The more you get taken out and into the weeds, the less you're focusing on the Lord, guess what? Less joy. It's really simple, people. Really simple. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, joy is not the slippery thing or the tricky thing I think that sometimes we think it is. We need to recover biblical joy, not just for this year, but as we move in quickly to 2023 already, right? It's just right around the corner. So in this series, I've tried to give you a few takeaway points by way of summary, but also by hopefully that these will be helpful. The first thing I want to say is biblical joy. What does it mean? It's a state of calm delight when God enthusiastically blesses those who are obedient to him and his word. You want more joy in your life? Obey God. Do it God's way. Haven't you tried your way and it hasn't worked out so good? Yeah? Boy, do it God's way. You'll have more joy. And a lot less trouble, have you noticed? Number two. Biblical joy is built upon pillars. And as you lean into these in different ways, you will have more joy. A humble perspective. We need to have that as Christians. How about a little more humor in your lives? Right? A little more laughing, a little more joy. I mean, no doubt many of you have spent plenty of time crying, right? I have too. Guess what? It's more fun to laugh. Get humor in your life. Forgiveness. Let the Advent season be. Is there one person you need to forgive? You're like, I got a boatload. Well, start with one, you know? Forgiveness, Christianity 101. Gratitude. Do you thank God every day for his goodness in your life? I don't have this or that. Give him thanks for what he has given, right? How about compassion? Can you grow in compassion as a Christian? You bet, right? And generosity. That might be money. It might be just taking one of those plates of cookies that the ladies worked so hard on and that you didn't do anything for, and no, you don't take it home and eat them yourself, right? That's for somebody else, you know, the Grinch, or someone who's struggling, maybe health issues, or they lost a loved one. Bless them. Just say, God bless you. You got anywhere to go for Christmas Eve or Christmas? Come to our church if you want. No pressure, right? You know, okay, I've given you these cookies, but you got to come to my church. No, not at all, right? Third, biblical joy can only be experienced from a deep and abiding relationship with Jesus, who is joy itself. Amen? It's so simple in so many ways. We make it so hard. But if you want joy, focus on Jesus this season. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this third Sunday of Advent where we get to focus on joy, the joy of the Lord. Your word says, for joy, Jesus went out and moved toward the cross. That makes no sense to the world, but it does to us as Christians. And so, Lord, I just pray for each and every one, especially those who are struggling this morning or with one thing or another, that you would bring joy into their lives and that they would leave this place more joyful as they go about into the world. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all of this and more. Thank you, Jesus. You are our joy, and it's in your name we pray, saying, amen. Amen.